Hello, everybody. My name is Dustin Hartzler, and today we are doing a webinar on how to lock down your WordPress website. And I'm really excited to share with you this information today because there is so much that you can do to prevent your website from being hacked. There's so many little options that you can change within WordPress, and they don't make it widely known, which is kind of a bummer in my opinion. Like, you really should, they really should publicize how the best way to do this is, or just even do it for you. But there's a lot of things that we can do. And we'll just go ahead and get started. My name is Dustin Hartzler, and I am a full-time WordPress developer. That is what I do full-time. I podcast about WordPress. I live WordPress. I mean, that's what I do every single day. Like, there doesn't a day go by that I'm not opening up the dashboard or logging into my FTP or SSHing into my server or something along those lines. I love it. I love learning about it. I love understanding how to help small business owners make the most of WordPress. And what makes me a perfect candidate today to share with you this information is I have had my share of hacks, and I know what works. I know what doesn't work. I know that if you do a real basic installation without a lot of setup, then there can be some problems, and that can lead to some issues. And I've been hacked before, and I fixed it, and those sites have never been hacked again. So I know that these practices are working. I've confirmed with other people in the field. And so there's a lot of things that we're going to share today. I'm going to start off by saying how initially you should set up WordPress if you are going ahead and setting up WordPress for the very first time and you're using a 5-minute quick install. I'm going to show you exactly how to do that, how to set that up. Then we're going to go through and we're going to talk about how to make your website harder to hack, which is perfectly acceptable if you already have a website up. I know that a lot of people that are out there have websites, they have them on WordPress, and maybe they haven't done the smartest things with setting them up initially. There are some things that you can do about that. So we're going to talk about how to make it harder to hack, and then I'm going to restore you from a hack. We're not going to go through all the pieces. Obviously, there's a lot of things that you can talk about how to restore from a hacked website, but we're going to work through some of the troubleshooting processes to get to the point to know where that malicious code is and how to recover from that. And then there's going to be a lot of technical information. There's going to be some plugins that we use. There's also going to be a lot of code that goes up on the screen. You're going to get all that code as part of the package today. That will be all sent to you. You'll have that as you're rewatching the video and doing that. So some of the slides I might not stay on quite long enough for you to handwrite everything out. Some of them there won't be time to write them out because they're just very, very hard to do. I made sure that when I was going through and pasting the content, and I was actually pasting the actual text so you can copy and paste it into the specific files that we talk about. And so there's some things that we can do that the second section with the make your website harder to hack, I'm going to talk about some things that you can do if you're more of an advanced skill level and you want to go into the FTP area and make some changes. But then there's also a couple plugins that we can add that can do the exact same thing with just a plugin. So I just want to give you as much information as you can, and then you can make an informed decision on which way that you want to protect your website. So why should we worry about security? Getting hacked is a complete pain in the butt to recover from. I don't know if anybody that's listening has ever had a website hacked. It is completely a pain to get to recover from. There's two different ways that I have been hacked before. One is they've inserted malicious code that makes any time that you go to a website appear to be a completely different website. And it just basically injects code, and then that calls it up when somebody goes to your main website. Your whole website looks like you're advertising for the some foreign mafia. And that's no good because people are getting to the site and they're getting to your content, but they can't really get there. Another way that they do it is they inject code throughout the website, and then it doesn't look like there's anything wrong, but eventually Google will catch up with you and they'll have a big logo that says, "This site is infected with malware. Do you wish to continue?" And anybody that's with any sort of knowledge is going to say, "Nope, I don't want to go to this website." So you're really going to lose a lot of traffic. You're going to take some hits on people coming to your website. If you can't get people to your website, then your blogs aren't getting read, your products aren't being sold, things along those lines. So you waste a lot of time trying to figure out what is the problem. You waste time trying to figure out how to fix it. You waste time trying to figure out what is the most recent backup that I have. I mean, there's just a lot of time that's wasting, and you have unnecessary hair pulling because sometimes these viruses or these malware versions come back. I know that there's been a couple that I fought before that I thought I got rid of all the code. It was code that was being added into the index.php file, malicious code. I erased it all, and then I hit save. I went to resubmit to Google, because that's what you have to do once you're once you've got it uninfected. You resubmit it to Google, and then it comes back and says, hey, you're still infected. And then you go back into your server and you look at it, and all the files have the exact same code again. And so it can come back. And so you're like, you're trying to pull your hair out, trying to figure out, okay, where does this generate? Because that is the big deal. If you you have to find the source of the code. And so it's much easier to take these few steps before the scenes and then to try to figure out how to recover from the website being crashed later. So most WordPress hosting packages like the Bluehost, the GreenGeeks, the HostGator, the sites like that, they give you the ability to quickly install a WordPress installation. And I'm going to do a live demo here so we can show exactly how to do this. But there are some things we need to take precaution on when we're doing a secure installation. And so one of those things is you want to install the WordPress in a directory rather than the root directory. You want to change the table prefix. You want to choose a specific database name. You want to select a username other than admin. And you want to create a difficult password that's 7 to 14 characters. And the 7 to 14 is kind of funny because you think, why 7 to 14? I normally hear like 8 to 15. Well, if most people are doing 8 to 15, then that's what hackers are going to try. They're going to try passwords that have 8 characters. They're going to try them that have 15 characters. So if you do something that's different than the normal, then it's going to take it even longer to be hacked into. And so these are some things with the quick install that you can change, mainly because if, let's just for instance, if you have a standard WordPress website, I know for a fact that if you just did a random install, I could go to yoursite.com/wp-login.php. And that's going to get me your login page for your WordPress website. But if you haven't installed in a subdirectory, or you've changed the table prefix, if you've done something other than the standard, then that's going to make it much more difficult to log in and somebody to even get to your login page, because then if you can't get to the login page, then you most likely cannot run your spam software or your password generator tools to try to hack into your website. And the thing is with WordPress, and we'll cover this later with a plugin, but there is no, WordPress does not limit the number of attempted password entries. So that means you could, if you figure out what the username is, and if people are guessing admin because the admin is what normally people select, then that password, then they have to just keep trying passwords. And eventually by the brute force method, they will actually get in and they will be able to get into your website. Once they're in there, then they can change your passwords and then they can total chaos within your website. So with that, let's go to a live demo and show exactly how to do this. Your cPanel will look very much like this, whether you're using Bluehost or HostGator or any of those other installations or those other web hosting providers that you're using. And what you want to look for is when you scroll down, you want to look for the software and services tab. And I personally use the Softalicious, or however you say that. That's the one that I use because it's the quickest, easiest one for me. So I normally just click on there, and then WordPress, you can see, is big and bold. It's right there. And click install, and then you want to find the domain name where you want to install it. Well, I've got all these domain names here, and I've got one that's called it is lock.hartzlerdm.com. That's where we're going to install this today. So the first thing that I mentioned was change the directory. And so right now, like most people will go in and they'll just hit backspace here. So then they install it in the root directory. That means if you go to your lock.hartzlerdm.com/wp-login, you will be at your login screen. That's where you will be installing it. And just to make it a little bit more difficult, we want to put this in a specific directory. So we'll just call this the lock directory while we're at it. We're just going to make everything locked because we're going to lock this sucker down. Now the database name, this is something that is pre-generated by your host company. I like to name this so at least I know what site this is to. So for example, like with GreenGeeks, you know, you can have a bunch of different WordPress installations, but if you all call them WP96 or 936, then the next one is WP947, you don't really know which database is associated with each domain name. So you want to, I think there's a limit of how many characters you can use here, but you want to come up with something that's got something that will allow you to remember what website it's tied to, and then just throw some numbers on it as random, you know, just to make it that much more difficult. So maybe we'll just call this one lock936. And just is something different. Now the table prefix, this is what these are what your database table prefixes are. So there's a WP-options, there's a WP-users, there's a there's a bunch of them that are currently installed with your WordPress install. But everybody knows that if you just do the standard installation. And so what we want to do here is maybe we'll just call these lock. We'll just call them lock underscore and then the name. And then this way, people, if they actually are trying to inject code into your database, they won't know the name of the table. And if you don't know the name of the table, then you can't get yourself in. And so it's just another precaution. It's much easier to do this when you initially set it up than it is to do it later, but it can be done later. The site name, site description, these are things that you want to, you can change them, you can make them whatever you want. These are both of these things you can change once you're in WordPress itself. And then the admin username, make sure you change this to whatever you want as long as it's not admin. There are so many websites out there that have admin and pass as the username and password. I know that I have done this before in the past just on a development site that nobody's going to see, but it still leaves it for vulnerabilities. People can still search for WordPress installs, even if they're just a development site. So even if you want to, let's say, for example, you want to have all your development sites be the exact same, instead of using admin and pass, make it something and then the same. You can use the same username and password if you really like, or make them something that will be similar so you can remember them. So maybe with the, maybe for the lock.hartzlerdm.com, maybe I want that username to be lock, and then I'll be underscore HDM. So then I know that that is what my username is. And then maybe the password could be lock, and then I'm working on this in 2012 and or November, or you know, something along those lines. Even though this is a development site, make sure that it's not real simple. I mean, and I'm doing a bad example here by using the word lock, because you really shouldn't use password tool, or you shouldn't use a password that has, you know, a dictionary word in. But for this instance, I want to try to remember this before I, you know, so I can log in later. And so so we're going to do that. And then make sure that your admin password is somewhere where an email can actually go to. And then we'll go ahead and install this. And I'm just writing that down so I don't forget. And now you can see that we've got a website here. It's up and running. Notice it does say that it's lock.hartzlerdm.com/lock, and we can fix that later, but it is in that root directory, which is really powerful. And then if we wanted to log in, it's going to be, here is going to be the login. I'll log in so we have this ready. Lock underscore HDM and then. And then you can see that we are in here, and we're in our normal WordPress dashboard. You can see that it 3.4.2 just came out yesterday, so the scripts in Softalicious have not been updated yet. So the very first thing that you want to do once you're in here and is to go ahead and update this. So we can just update, and we'll do that while we get back to the presentation. So that's the way to make it very simple to set up initially. That's the recommended way that I would highly recommend anybody that's interested to setting up a brand new site. Those are the things that you should take in precaution. Try not to take any default settings. Just make them your own. Make sure that you're writing them down too, so you know exactly what those settings are just make sure you document it all, because you're going to use a strong username, you're going to use a strong password, and you don't want to forget that stuff, because then that can be difficult to recover. So here are some next things that I want to talk about to make your website harder to hack. And this is going to be, the first section is going to be if you are comfortable manually modifying some code. And so most of these can be done with an FTP client. If you want to SSH into your server, you can do that. But if you're not comfortable with that, we will talk about adding this plugin in a little bit that can do primarily all of this stuff. And so I just want to talk through some of these things. Step one is to change your WordPress keys. And basically what these are is WordPress in the wp-config file has cookies that are embedded within WordPress. And if somebody's logged into your site and you change your site keys, the instance that they click a button to go to the next page or to update or to do anything, it's going to ask them to re-authenticate. And if you've already changed your username and password, then when they went to go to authenticate, then they can't get in. So this is something that is a big deal. I always make sure that these things are changed. When you set up a default installation of WordPress like we just did, those secret keys are generated and they're put in there. And so this is, I guess, this would be something that you can change these regularly if you think that you have somebody that has hacked into your website. This is something that you don't have to do regularly and should have been. I guess all of these steps are not in the order of importance. They're in the order that they came to my mind. And so this isn't necessarily something you have to do all the time, but this is there. The web address is there, api.wordpress.org/secret-key-1.1-salt. That is a link there you can go to, and we'll show you an example of what this looks like. There's a bunch of code that's generated, and the top one is what's generated when you go to that api.wordpress.org, and then you paste this in the wp-config file. And if you forget what that web address is, you can also see that it is right there beside the at link, the HTTPS at API, that's right there in the code, and then you paste it right below. Obviously, I didn't do the same copy and paste because all the characters are different, but it could have been that in theory, once you get them from the website, you copy them and then you paste them in here and then you save it. You can block search engine spiders from crawling specific areas of your website. And so if you're familiar with the back end of WordPress, you know that there's a wp-admin folder that's created, wp-includes, wp-content, and then you've got trackbacks, you got feeds, you got categories, you got all kinds of stuff in there. But if you're interested in getting rid of this stuff, or you don't want Google to search it, because basically Google is going to search everything that's on your website unless you tell it not to. And so what you do here is in the root directory of your WordPress install, you just create a robots.txt file, and then you just paste this information in. And so this is basically saying on the right-hand side in this image, it's saying do not allow searching in the CGI-bin. That's just a general folder that comes with the installation. WP-admin, it makes sure that sites cannot crawl that. So then that way, people, hackers, other things do not know that there's actually files inside those folders. So you want to block your search engines. Basically, anything that are inside the content folders, the theme files, the plugins, that sort of stuff, you do not need that to be indexed by Google to run from your website. The next one is to protect HT access. And if you're not familiar with HT access, this is a hidden file that is basically used to secure or specify security restrictions throughout your website. And so this is actually probably one of the trickiest steps that I came up with. It's not really tricky if you know exactly how to do it, but this file is in your root directory. So most likely that is in the public_HTML file, and it's hidden. So you have to be able to enable hidden files. And you can do that with CyberDuck, like the last webinar that I showed, FileZilla, really any of them. You should be able to go up into the view options and then show hidden files. If you don't have one in that directory, then basically all you have to do is create a file. You can create a file called htaccess.txt. You create the file on your computer. You type in all this information that we're going to go through in the next couple slides. You save it. You move it to your server, and then you rename it .htaccess. So this code right here makes so that external access cannot open up this file. So that's a good thing, because in this file, and I'm going to show you here in just a second, all the stuff that we're going to restrict access to in this file. If somebody has access to get into the HT access, then they can remove all that stuff and then they can hack into the rest of the site. So a lot of these things are just copy and paste stuff. You just throw them in here, but I just want to tell you what it is before you actually copy and paste it in there. Another thing you can do is turn off directory browsing. So this means that you don't let visitors browse through your website directory. And so you basically add this one line of code. Anything that has the pound sign in front of it just means it's a comment. So basically we're saying options all dash indexes. You put that in the HT access directory and no one can go through and browse the contents of your folders throughout your website. You want to secure the wp-config file. Remember, that's the file that generates That's the one that's generated by WordPress when you install. That's the one that comes up with the username, the password, and the database name. And so those things are very crucial. You don't want people being able to see what that information is. And so you paste this, the what's in the files brackets there, the files wp-config.php. You want to order deny and allow, deny from all. And then that way people that are not yourself cannot get into them with and hack into that information. You want to protect your admin files. So this I have heard can be kind of problematic. You can make sure that nobody actually gets access to wp-admin, that whole area where you run your dashboard. You can only let specific IP addresses in, but this is for the people who are completely paranoid and they only update their site from one computer, one dedicated IP address. If you are moving around a lot and you have and you might log in from your phone or log in from different places, you do not want to do this. Otherwise, you won't be able to go in and have access to it. So this is something that you can protect, and it's something if you're really concerned about people getting into your website. A big one is preventing script injection, and this is one of these ones that you won't be able to write down because there's just too much going on in here, and I recommend copying and pasting this later when you have a copy of this in front of you. But basically, this was the one of the scripts that I was talking about earlier, one of the kinds of malware where it just generates and pushes code into different pieces of your code, and this is a complete pain. This is what I was focusing on last week, actually, for a client of mine, because it would kept adding code to index.php files. And had I had this already included in my htaccess folder, those files could never be rewritten and have that code injected into it. So this would have been a perfect rewrite rule that I should have added to that. And it would have saved me a lot of time and a lot of headache. And now, of course, once I found out that, hey, this is the way to do it, that is now live on their website as well. Another thing that you want to do is you want to remove your WordPress version number. This is something that makes it so people, when they're generating, they're looking through websites and their code and whatnot, however hackers work, I really don't know, but they are always looking for WordPress and to see if your version is something less than the most current version, because they have kind of figured out what the vulnerabilities were with the previous versions. And so they want to make sure that If somebody's running an old version, then they know exactly what they can do and get right in. If you remove this, or if you add this to your functions.php folder, or if you're using thesis, put it in customs_functions.php, you add this, and then that code is no longer generated in the header of your WordPress website. Then if it's, you know, a day or two to, you know, till you update from 3.4.1 to 3.4.2, then it's absolutely okay that you're doing that, because people won't be able to see that you're running an older version of WordPress. And another thing that you can do, and I don't have time to go through this in the entire webinar, but you can, if you haven't done this before, remember before we put it in the folder/lock, we want to make sure that you can move it from the main directory. And this webpage here, the codex.wordpress.org/givingwordpress-its-own-directory, that link walks you step by step of how you can move the contents from your root directory into a subfolder, but you still keep the domain name of like yoursite.com. And you don't have the /something. So I know that, in fact, before, like, I've installed your website in, or you're like yourwebsite.com/WordPress, and then you can do a few small little steps, and then you can make it so that you don't see that /WordPress, but WordPress, it's actually in the WordPress folder. And so you can do some things there. Like I said, don't have time to go into it in full detail, but go ahead and go to that website to check it out. So if you're not comfortable with FTP, there are some security plugins that you can run and install. Actually, there's just a couple that I want to tell you about, and they're super easy to use, and then I'll show you how to use one of them as well. And even if you're not a beginner, some of these will, the very first one will help you tremendously. It's going to be a huge thing that you can add. So the first one is, it's called Limit Login Attempts, and it limits the number of login attempts per IP address. And so basically what you do is there's some configuration files that you can set up, and you can say that, hey, I only want people to be able to try to log in 3 times or 4 times or whatever that is, and then making them wait for 20 minutes. Remember earlier in the webinar I said that WordPress does not have this ability. It does not have the ability to lock down how many attempts that somebody can try to log in. Otherwise, somebody can try, you know, a million times and they're just still going to let it, you know, continue to try to log in. So this here, you can set it up so once you've reached that threshold, then you have to wait 20 minutes. And computer generated bots cannot figure that out. So that's you get email notifications too when somebody has tried to log in more than one, you know, more than a number of times. And if it's not you, you know, if you get one of these messages and you haven't logged in a couple hours, but it just said that you tried to log in three times, and it normally gives you the IP address of where the login came from, then you can even go in, you can say block the IP address, you know, this specific IP address, which from this plugin will actually write it into that .htaccess file, which we were talking about a little bit earlier. And so then that will just add that line of code right there. You can find that if you search the WordPress repository for limit login attempts, or you can click on the hyperlink when you have this in front of you as well. So this is one of the ones that even if you are you're big time, you know, WordPress guy, you don't really like running plugins, this is one that I do recommend running because it will save you from the hackers that are trying to get into your account. Another plugin that you can add is called the Securi Site Check Malware Scanner. And if you search for Securi Scanner in the WordPress repository, you will find that as well. But it will scan your website for malware to make sure that you do not have malware running. Now, I have used this before in the past, and it will produce some false positives. It depends on how your theme is structured, and it will say maybe some static links to other websites. You know, maybe that you have in your sidebar, maybe you have some ads in your sidebar and they're pointing to a specific website that's not yours. It might think that is an actual, you know, a malware or some hidden encrypted code. So you just have to kind of look through there, and there's a lot of things that it generates that could be good and could be bad. So this is something this is a plugin that you wouldn't use that often, but it would be something that you would want to log in maybe once a month or just kind of figure out, hey, is there a problem with my website right now? The big thing is if you do get hacked, if you can still get into your WordPress dashboard, then you can run this and you can see exactly where the code is, and then you can kind of troubleshoot the process just a little bit better. The next one that I want to talk about is Better WP Security. And this, in my opinion, is the best security plugin that's out there. It's perfect for incorrect WordPress installations. And I say that as not that they're incorrect, but they have a lot of the standard configuration, or they haven't locked down really any of the other things. A lot of the things that we talked about earlier, most of those can be they can be changed or fixed with this WordPress or with this plugin, which is really pretty cool. And you can find this, search for Better WP Security in the WordPress repository, or you can go to the URL right there, wordpress.org/extends/plugins/better-WordPress-security. And here is a screenshot of what it looks like. It's really pretty cool. You can see here that this is just a screenshot that I took from their plugin page, but you can see that, oh, we're not enforcing strong passwords, or your WordPress header is showing too much information. And you can see right next to it, it says click to fix. And so we're just going to go ahead and do just a little bit of that here on that demo site that I just set up. So we'll just go into add new from here, and then you can search just for Better WP Security and hit enter, and it will go through and it'll find all the ones, and it does say it's the number one WordPress security plugin. I completely agree with that. So we'll go ahead and install that. We're sure. And then I'll activate the plugin and we'll just go through some of these settings. Granted, remember, this is brand new installation. This is some things that we haven't, you know, I've done really nothing with it. It comes up with this badge down here under security. We'll click on that, and then it says, do you want to create a database backup? Or, no thanks, I already have a backup. Now, there's nothing here. I'm not worried about it, so I'm just going to go ahead and I already have a backup. And then it's asking you if you can, if it can have access, if it can automatically write files or to your WordPress core files, which are the wp-config and htaccess. Those are the files that we talked about earlier. So this plugin will do a lot of the things, like I said, that was covered earlier. So yes, we'll allow the plugin to change the WordPress core files. That is okay. So here we go. We can see all the things that that I'm doing good. The three things that are green, the admin user has been removed. Yes, that's perfect. Your table prefix is locked. That's good. And Better WP Security is allowed to write to WP /config and the HD access file. So we can see that there's just a lot of things you can do here. And so you can go through, and this one, the WordPress header is showing too much information to users. So let's click here to fix, and then basically you just go ahead and you click right there and hit save changes. And then we should be able to go back to the dashboard, and that one should be fixed. Or okay, now it's saying that the header is still revealing some information. So the blue means are not fully secure, but may conflict with other themes, plugins, or the operations of your site. So let's go ahead and see what else I didn't do that's in that section. So you're supposed to, these header tweaks, you're supposed to do all of them. And so we'll go ahead and click all those and hit save changes, and then go back to the dashboard and see if that turned green now. So now my WordPress header is revealing as little of information as possible. And so you can go through here and you can do all of these things. This one's pretty cool. Your WordPress admin area is available 24/7. Do you really need to update this 24 hours a day? If you click on this, then you can go in, you can say like, oh, I'm going on vacation this week. You know, I'll enable away mode. Or I want it to start today, and I want to go for the next 10 years or the next year, and I only want to be able to edit it from 12 a.m. or let's say, for example, for me, I only want to be able to update it from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. at night. Those are the only time, those are the hours that I'm awake. Those are the times that I'm in front of my computer. You can go ahead and change all those. So we'll just change this right here. We'll say 6 a.m. and we'll go to 10 p.m. at night. That's when I would most likely be making changes. And this is all within WordPress. You can still make changes from, you can make changes within FTP, and you can change your theme files and stuff like that. But that's just changing things within WordPress. And so now it will say that, still says it's available 24 hours a day. Maybe it didn't save it. You have to click the away time. Anyways, you can go ahead and go through here and play with these different settings, and you can really get a feel for what you can do here. So let's go back to the presentation where I have more control on what's going on. So the next thing that I want to talk about is backup your site. This is another crucial piece as part of a plugin that needs to be running on every single site. And it really does not matter to me what backup solution you're using. Backup Buddy is my new favorite that I've been using. I've used the WordPress backup to Dropbox that keeps all my files. Every time that it backs up, it will save them to my Dropbox folder, so I always have the latest and greatest, and it's always saved with Dropbox. I've also used WP-DB Manager before. I like that one. That will send you an email with the files. There's a lot of different plugins out there. I don't care what you use. Make sure you're using one. And what I recommend is weekly, do a database. So every week, do a database. For me, I do a database backup every Monday morning at 8:00 in the morning, or every Wednesday morning at 8:00. I know for a fact that my podcast, when I publish it, I normally will record on Tuesdays. I'll publish it so it comes out at 6:00 in the morning, roughly on Wednesday morning. And then once it's published, then I know that that's when I have made my most recent changes. I don't do a lot of blogging, so I'm not changing content all the time. If I was blogging week or daily, you know, if I had 5 blogs a week, I would probably back up every Friday afternoon once that last blog post has come out. And then I also do all contents on a monthly basis. And mainly because I don't do a lot of site upgrades that wouldn't take me a lot of time to fix. So for example, if I would change some stuff in my theme file to add new images or change the formatting or things like that, I don't do that often. I'm creating more content. And so I want to make sure that my content is saved and valuable, because that's most valuable for me to try to, it would take me hours upon hours to recreate all the stuff, you know, all the blog posts, all the show notes, all the stuff that I've already done. So I want to make sure that that's backed up as soon as possible. And once you have those backups, it's going to make you a very, very easy when it's time to restore from a hacked website. So that's leading into the next part, how to restore from a hack. The very first step is don't panic. Anything, even if it's something is terribly wrong, it can be fixed. And if you've been doing backups regularly, it can be all restored. It's not that big a deal. Like it sounds like it's incredibly hard. It sounds like it's going to take a lot of time, and it will take some time. It'll be painful to some extent, but it can be all back. And I could point you to different websites that you could go to that were hacked at one time and they look perfectly fine right now. The next thing is to duplicate everything. I always make a copy of everything that's on my server and store them on my computer. You know, I go into FTP and just drag everything from the public.html folder onto my personal local hard drive, and then I'll label that, like, you know, the date, the website address, and if it was hacked, you know, that way. So I have the hacked code if necessary. I also have all the backup stuff, and you want to make a copy of your database if, for instance, you back up on Thursday or on Wednesdays, you made some changes on Thursday, you got hacked on Friday, you know, you'll make a copy of your database just so you have it. You can have too many backups. And then you want to save your content too. Like if you have, you know, a couple blog posts that aren't saved within the last time your backup has run, the easiest way to do that is just go into the post area or your pages, the things that you know that you've made changes to, and you can highlight the text from the HTML editor and just paste it into a text file, and then all you have to do is paste it back in when you re-upload from a backup of a database. And most times you don't even have to do anything with the database, and so that's just an extra precaution that you might want to do. So the very first step, and we're just going to walk through some troubleshooting things that you can do. The first thing is to install a fresh version of WordPress. So you can get it over at wordpress.org, and you can copy all the files. If you're doing it manually, copy all the files except the wp-content folder to your server. So you're going to rewrite everything. Or you can reinstall WordPress inside the dashboard. If you go up in the upper right-hand corner or upper left-hand corner under dashboard, there is an update button. You can go and click on that update button, and then you'll see this window that's down at the bottom, and you have the ability to just update now. And if you click that, it's going to go ahead and it's going to go in and it's going to actually it's going to just redo all the files. It's just going to re-download them and re-put them back in there. And then now you can go back to your website and see if it's still hacked. If it's not, then you know that there was some sort of problem with inside of WordPress installation itself. Most of the time I found that that's not the problem, but it's just a good step in the troubleshooting process. Now you know that you have a clean version of WordPress in your website. Now we can move on to the next thing. The next thing is, it's going to take some time to start digging, but the first thing to do is to disable all your plugins. And you can go to the plugins area, you can click on the box that at the very top and it'll highlight all of them, and then do the bulk actions and deactivate all, and then hit apply. And then when you do that, you can go in, you turn them back on one at a time and see if the hack comes back. Now, all of this is saying that if the website has visibly been hacked, or there's something that you can physically see. Some of the sites that I've had hacked, you can't actually see that there's actually this malicious code running in the background. So some of these troubleshooting processes might not actually work as easy for you as I'm saying, but these are kind of the steps that I go through as I'm troubleshooting. Another thing that I do in this process is I'll make sure that all of them are up to date. You know, maybe some of them are out of date, and so I'll update them first, and then I'll deactivate them all, and then I'll turn them back on one at a time and see if there's a problem within one of the plugins. If there's nothing visibly wrong with the plugins, now we're going to restore the database. So we want to make sure that those backups that we've set up, you know, you can go in, you can import those backups back into the you can restore those back into your WordPress MyPHP admin. You can go in there, you can re-upload those. That's a little bit of a tricky process, and if you search around the web, there's lots of videos out there that show you exactly how to do that. And then once you restore from the latest backup, then you can see, hey, is it, you know, was it in the database? Is it in the theme file? If you've restored the database and you still have the issue, okay, now it's in the theme file somewhere, then you can always go back to I normally like to go to the 2010 theme, see if there's a problem, if the problem still persists when you're running the 2010 theme. And if the site looks fine, then you know it's in your theme. So once you kind of, it's just kind of a troubleshooting process. You look at one core thing at a time, and then once your site is free of the malware, once you've kind of figured out what the problem is, you can do this now, or you can do it at the beginning of the whole process. You've got to go back and change your passwords. Make sure that you change your WordPress passwords. I also recommend doing the usernames too. In order to do the usernames, though, you have to go into the database to do. You might be able to change them with that better WP security plugin, and then you want to change your FTP passwords. You want to change the salts that were in the WP-config file. So remember those, that you go to that apis.wordpress.org/salts/1.1, whatever that was. And you want to go there and change those, so that way if anybody's currently logged in, it will automatically kick them out. And then once you've changed those passwords, then they can't get back in. And so those are some things that you can, those are kind of the steps, the troubleshooting process. And granted, every hack is going to be completely different. And it's just kind of the mindset to go through, okay, these are the steps that I need to go through to make sure that I can recover my website. The last thing is, once you've got it solved, relax. You don't have to worry about your site being rehacked. As long as you're, you know, doing smart things, you've got backups, you're using those plugins to help keep your site secure, there's not really much else you can do. I mean, you could worry all day, every day about your website being hacked. I mean, there's millions of websites out there. There's millions of websites that get hacked every single day, but you don't have to, like, I don't worry about my sites getting hacked. I know that they're prone to, I know that there'll be some time that they'll actually be hacked. But I know that the process is in place, the backups that I have going, you know, automatically, I really don't worry about it. I know that it'll take maybe an hour's worth of my time to restore everything, if even that. So you just want to, don't think about it. I mean, every website has the possibility of being hacked, but if you're following these things that I just outlined, you're going to be in the small minority of people that will actually lose anything from some sort of attack. Some good practices, just to, some good practices. You want to keep WordPress and plugins up, plugins up to date. You want to always, when you hear new ones coming out, or whenever you see that little update button in the circle, make sure that you are updating those. Another thing you can do is use plugins sparingly, or use the ones that you know. Like, I have no problems with running a bunch of plugins from big reputable sources. You know, I'm using Backup Buddy. I'm using, you know, all these plugins where some of them I know the developer, and I have a real trust in the plugins. Another thing you want to look for, Windows plugins, like, make sure that they are being updated regularly. When you're looking in the WordPress repository, it actually tells you the date of the last time that the plugin has been updated. And if it hasn't been updated since 2010, sure, it still may work, but it may have all kinds of flaws and security vulnerabilities inside that you don't want to worry about. So use them sparingly, know what you're using, and just don't use a plugin just because. Make sure it's adding real value, and you know you've done a little bit of research on it. Also, use a reputable host. You know, sometimes hosting companies will do a great job of notifying you when your site's down. Sometimes they'll do a great job of notifying you when there's a specific hack to their servers, or maybe they do some things on their end to when they find people trying to hack into their sites. You know, they block the IP addresses. You know, there's a lot of things. So I'm fully confident with the Green Geese, the Bluehost, the HostGators, the more premium web hosts. You know, the ones that I'd be more wary about are the ones that are, you know, the free hosting and things along those lines. And the biggest thing, always back up. I can't stress it enough. That's probably one of the things that I don't do nearly enough, but even though I have it automated, it's still something that I kind of forget about sometimes, but always have a backup. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. Sorry that it was kind of geeky. There was a lot of information, and you're going to get, you'll have all this right in front of you, so you can add these code bits where you need to and all those types of things. I appreciate you listening and hanging out with me this morning or afternoon or evening or whatever time zone that you may be in. If there's other things that you want to learn about on the webinars, I'm always open to ideas. I love getting suggestions for things like this. I know that this was one that kind of, I had a few questions from people on, and I was like, well, I should just do a webinar on this whole thing. And if you haven't checked out the podcast, yourwebsiteengineer.com, new podcast episodes every week. I'd love to answer your questions. So just go ahead and check all that out. So I'm going to open up for any questions. Hopefully that this came out very beneficial, but if there's something that's still on your mind and you have a question, just leave that in the chat room and I'll go ahead and start looking through that. And yes, I'll include that. All the stuff that needs to be pasted into an htaccess file, that will be, I'm not sure exactly how I'll do that. I'll just make it super easy so you can just highlight it and copy and paste, though. It will be in there as part of the package, just because it's a pain to retype all that stuff. And one little, you know, character that's out of order can ruin a site. And I guess I should have stressed that a little bit. Like, if you're uncomfortable with the htaccess folder, you can if you do paste in something incorrectly, or there's like I said, in character wrong, or you have an extra semicolon or something, it could break your site. And when you go and refresh, it could be broken. And then just go ahead and undo what you just did, and then it should be fixed. I haven't run into that instance a lot, but if you're trying to do you can really do a lot of cool things within the HT access file, and but if you don't have it quite right, then it can break a lot of things. Okay, Rick was asking about the he puts it in a custom install, and it's in some folder, but the site is accessed on example.com, like you covered. I'm guessing that. I guess I have to think about that one a second. The WP admin is still at example.com/folder/WP admin, but they're still finding it. Wow, that's really. And you know that people are accessing it by how? Sorry, I'm just trying to get more information. It could be because it is not in that robots.txt file. Yeah, that is a good point. That way, robots can scan that. And I don't, like I said, there's a lot that I don't know about hackers, and I don't know how they work, or I don't know why they do what they do, because it's a complete pain. But I don't know if they can somehow, find domains, and they start they start going through them or what. Okay, so you have a WordPress firewall and it blocks injections and attacks. Maybe what happens too is maybe they can see that it is a WordPress site, and then they can start trying to inject in guests, different folder locations, or I really don't know. Like it really depends on the tools that the hackers have. But I'm glad that you have it, blocked with different methods. That's good. I think the plugins that notify you, especially like the locked in one, and I think the better security one has some features like that too. It's just really powerful that you can see, you get notifications when somebody other than you is trying to log in, and then that kind of raises your awareness a little bit, like, oh, something's going on. I need to check in to, and that way it just gives you more information, because the more informed you are, the better that you can make decisions. Oh, and Andrew brings up a good point that if somebody goes to your website and then looks at the view source button, and then in the view source, then it's going to show you the path to, it shows you a path. So it'd be like mysite.com/some folder/wp-content/theme/, and then they're like, oh, well, if they know that the wp-admin is in the same folder as the, or in the same area as the wp-content, then you'll go ahead and they could know, then they could get in that way. That's a good point, Andrew. And I don't know if, I mean, that sounds more like a specific type hack. Like, I don't think that there would be the ability to go through, like, once again, I don't know how hackers work and how they scan for sites to try to get into, but I wouldn't think that a hacker would just pull up a site and then go view source and then kind of look through, okay, I think this is where it is, and then give it an attempt. I wouldn't think that that's how they do it, but you never know. Lynn, I think Lynn's question is, I have heard that doing a quick install is less secure than FTP or SSH. Have you heard that? I've seen that in reviews, and I think that the main thing that they're worried about doing there is the fact that that people doing the quick installs, they don't do those custom settings. They don't change the folder name. They don't change the database. What's it called? The prefix on the database. They are using the standard admin in the past. They're setting up very quickly, and they're not doing those things. I don't know from a technical end if it's less secure or more secure. I always, once you do a quick install, you can always go in and you can redo those salts. You can change your passwords, and you can do things once you're inside there. But I've never really had a problem with using the quick installs. They're awesome. They are quick. They do the exact same things that you would have to do manually, but just quote unquote quick. One other thing that I was going to talk about, and I kind of forgot actually, was the fact that you can set file permissions on folders, and you can do it on files itself, and then you can give read write access to certain to certain people. So like you as the owner can have read write access, but then you wouldn't want to give like the world write access, which the world would be anybody that comes to your website or doesn't have the proper credentials. So I will include that as part of the video as well, kind of as at the end here. I'll get some screenshots and I'll add that here to the end, because I don't think I have that right off the top of my head. Any more questions? Was it helpful? Hopefully that this Was there new information? Was it all stuff that you had heard before? I'm hoping to provide you with new information at some point. Rick wants to know if you can place the theme files in a custom folder. Like you can put the theme files in example.com/static/CSS or rename the WordPress file directory. Yes, you can do all those things, but it just takes a little bit more configuration inside of the wp-config. Like you have to make sure that you know you're telling WordPress where your files are located. You could do that. That could help save you from people trying to know where your wp-admin or wp-includes all those files are. So there's a lot of things that you can do. There's so many different hackers that are out there that things change all the time, but just make sure that you keep things updated. You're running the latest and greatest installs of things and you're backing up, and you should be fine, honestly. Like of all the websites that I manage and have built, I've only had one that I have. Actually, I've had two, but both of those were not websites that I had initially set up. And so there were some security things that needed to be changed. So every website that I've set up with these credentials, I keep them updated and things along those lines, I've never had a problem with. So that's kind of my recommendations. So just go ahead and do these things, and I have a good feeling that you won't have many problems. But it looks like all the questions are done. It's right before 11 o'clock. Thank you so much for joining in, tuning in, whatever time of day it was. I love being able to do this. I love the live interaction with you guys in the mornings, or it's my morning here, Friday morning. And I'm so excited to share this with you. And if you do have any recommendations for the next one, something that you really want to learn, these are basically coming up with a topic that's very visual is perfect. You know, if there's something that you really want to see how to do, or how to do this, that, or the other, you know, just send me an email. Dustin@yourwebsiteengineer.com. I'd be glad to, you know, consider that for September, or I guess this is September, for October. And so with that, we will do another one the first weekend in October, the first Friday in October. That will be October 5th, 2012. So thank you so much. Have a great day. Go out there, secure your sites if you haven't done so. If you haven't, this could be a good project for this weekend. So that's all I want to share with you today. Take care now. Bye-bye.